Good morning. Welcome to Lighthouse Bible Church. My name is Steve, and I'm a deacon here at the church, and I'll be teaching today on the subject of prayer. Pastor Farley is out of town with his daughter, Hannah, and she's singing in the Florida State Choir, so it's a pretty nice honor for her, and they're having some family time over there in Tampa. So with that, let's open in prayer. Father, thank you for all the many blessings you have provided for us. Most importantly, for sending your only Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to pay for the sins of all mankind and provide the gift of eternal life to those who simply believe and trust in Jesus. Please heal our hearts and bless all of us today as we seek to learn more about your grace and your plan for our life through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. At this time, I ask that you please stand. I know we are all looking forward to worshiping and praising the Lord this morning. I know there was a storm last night, but Jesus must have kept me in his bosom because I slept right through it.
You singers, great job. Well, good morning again. A couple of announcements today. For those of you that came in late, Pastor John is with his daughter over in Tampa. She's singing in the Florida State Choir, so Deacon Steve will be teaching today. This month we are featuring Grace Bible Pakistan as our mission of the month. There we go. Okay. If it's a great organization. They have a church over there in Pakistan. It's Faisal and Carrie Johns. Probably some of you have seen them here. They come here like once a year. They help out at our camp, and also they come here and talk to the church. So they have an orphanage over there that they take care of a lot of indigent Pakistani kids. So they're in a kind of a hostile area for Christians. But thankfully, the Lord has protected them, and the police over there, who are mostly Muslim, have realized that these people are true to their belief, and they're doing a great mission for the Pakistani people. So the police have been very protective of Faisal and Carrie and their team over there. Anyway, if you wanted to donate, you could put a check in the prayer box to them, or you can go online at gbcpakistan.org. There's a guest book in the lobby. If you would like to sign in, as well as a prayer box and prayer request forms that you can fill out if you want us to pray for you. We have a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. We also have a young Christians group, which meets at 6 p.m. on Mondays, and a service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m., as well as informal Bible study on Thursdays, 7 p.m., which is the informal Bible study is really great. We can sit around in a circle there at the table and in the library and just, you know, hash out the Bible issues related to the book of Matthew right now. Also, please raise your hand if you don't have a Bible, as you will need it to follow along today. Come in. So I'm going to be moving along fairly quickly today, so put your thinking caps on. One of the greatest parts of becoming a born-again Christian is being able to talk directly to God. He does answer prayers, even if you sometimes don't have the words to say. Just speak from the heart, and he will listen. When I was 2 years old, I got hit by a bus and had many broken bones, and they took me to the hospital, and I was unconscious for several days, and my parents didn't know if I was going to live. My mom said she was there with me praying that I would recover, and at some point she saw Jesus standing near my bed. Of course, that may well have been an image in her mind, but she had faith that God would answer her prayer, and he did. Prayer is an important part of the Christian life that many people ignore. Talking to God can improve your life in so many ways. He will answer your prayers and give you answers to questions you didn't even know you were asking. The special relationship between believers and God is important, and we should talk to Him every day. Just come to our gracious, loving Father with your needs. If you've sinned, He's already forgiven you. If you feel you don't deserve His blessing, remember that grace is for the undeserving, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So He's abundant to all who call upon Him. John 10:10, Jesus told us that I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And Paul, in his prayer for the Ephesians, prayed in Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So, what exactly is prayer? What does the Bible tell us about prayer? Well, in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, the Lord said, "Call unto Me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." So prayer is calling to God and talking to God about all things, anything that you need to talk about. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 16, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of My Father in My name, He may give it to you." So where in the Bible are we commanded to pray? Well, in 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11, "Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually." And other verses, Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And Colossians 4 and verse 2, "Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving." So an important part of prayer is to give thanks to God for our many blessings, including the ones that may not feel good but bring us closer to Him. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16 and following, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And in 1 Timothy 2:8, "Therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension." And in 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, "The end of all things is near. Therefore be of sound judgment, sober spirit, for the purpose of prayer." And lastly, in Luke 18 and verse 1, "Now He was telling them a parable," meaning Jesus was telling them a parable, "to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart." So, who does God tell to pray? Well, all believers are commanded to pray. In John 15 and verse 16, Jesus explains, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in My name, He will do it." This is for believers. Speaking of disciples, in Acts 1:14, it is written, "These, all with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers." And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, "Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer." So, A word about hope. When the Bible talks about hope, it is using the Greek word elpis, which means to anticipate with confident expectation. So we're not just hoping for something, we're anticipating with confident expectation. So what are some of the things that God tells us to pray for in the Bible? Well, we should ask God what we should be learning about Him and about yourself in a difficult situation. Most of us instinctively pray for quick deliverance, but David in Psalm 86 prays that he will learn God's ways so that he will walk in obedience to God's truth. He prays that his loyalty will not be scattered or divided, but rather united or single-minded to God's purpose. He wants to be wholly devoted to God. He praises and thanks God for his faithfulness, and the end result is that he will fear or reverence God's name. In Psalm 86 and verse 11, David says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." And the word fear in the Bible usually connotes respect when it's used related to God. And in Psalm 86:12, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever." Many times in trials, people who professed faith in Christ when things were going well quickly turn to whatever they think will get them out of the trial. They aren't interested in learning more about Christ and his sufferings. They don't want to hear about walking in his truth. Their hearts are grabbing for anything, even false gods that they think will give them relief. Rather than submitting reverently to God, they rail angrily at him for allowing their suffering. I have known people, and as a matter of fact, I have a friend that became angry, and many people did this too, became angry at God because of the untimely death of a loved one. And they remained bitter at him for their whole life. So who did that anger hurt? I don't think it hurt God. I think it hurt them. Yeah, and with the result that they missed out on God's abundant blessings, sometimes even to the point of rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's pretty bad. God provides plenty of instruction on how to pray and what to pray for. We are told to pray for wisdom, for God's will, for our leaders, the needs of others, thanksgiving, the spread of God's word, and also our own needs. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil life and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." And in James 1, 5 and 6, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by wind." In Luke 6 and verse 27, Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." And in Matthew 5:44, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And Ephesians 6:18, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." So petition is when you pray for someone else. We're told there to have perseverance and pray for all the saints, all believers. And we can pray for unbelievers too, that they hear the message of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did with you." So here we see that we are also told to pray for others, including family and friends who may be sick or suffering, leaders and those in authority, as well as for the church and for those who teach God's word and evangelize the world. So how then are we to pray? Well, we're told in Matthew 6, verse 6 and 7 by Jesus, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words." So Jesus is telling us to pray privately and not to make a spectacle of prayer in order to gain attention for ourselves. He also explains that it is not about meaningless repetition or about eloquence, but just to tell God your thoughts between you and him. In John 14:13, Jesus told us, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And in Matthew 6 and verse 9, we are given an example of a short prayer form that provides some of the basics of prayer, but is not meant to be used verbatim to the exclusion of our own thoughts. And we probably, most of us know this as the Lord's Prayer. I think Catholics know it as the Our Father. And so in Matthew 6, 9, pray then in this way, and this is Jesus talking, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And we kind of talked about this Lord's Prayer in Bible study last Thursday, and you know how it's not really meant to this to be the only prayer we pray, but this is more or less of a guideline. He's asking us, Jesus is telling us to pray to our Father and with reverence or respect for his name, to pray for his kingdom and to pray that his will be done. And we can pray for our support and our needs, as in our daily bread. And we can pray to be forgiven from transgressions that we may have done, even though we know that as soon as we accept Christ as our Savior, we're immediately forgiven for all of our sins. But still, God wants us to forgive people who do us wrong and to acknowledge when we do wrong. And do not lead us into temptation. That really is meaning to lead us away from any temptation that we may have from our sin nature. But deliver us from evil. Keep us away from any harm or evil. And for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And that's reverencing God and expressing faith in him. We're also told to pray to the Father in Matthew 6, 9, and in the name of the Son in John 14, 13, and in the power of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 6, 18. And in Matthew 6, 10, that no matter what we pray, we should pray that God's will be done. So how and why is prayer answered? Well, in Proverbs 15 and verse 29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." And Ephesians 2 and verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." In Romans 8:26 and following, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So these verses promise that the Holy Spirit helps us by praying for exactly what we need, even if we don't know how to pray correctly. And we know that God still causes all things to work for good to those who want to do his will. So what are some of God's other promises about prayer? In Psalm 145 and verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. And in Jeremiah, verse 29:11, for I know, and I love this verse, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And in Matthew 21 and verse 22, Jesus backs that up by saying, and all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And again in Mark 11, 24, Jesus tells us, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? And in John 15:7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, this is the confidence which we have before him, the Lord. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests for which we have asked for him, from him. In Hebrews 4:14, in describing our Savior, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, as we are, and yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So then, what if our prayer appears not to be answered? There are many, many reasons why prayer is seemingly not answered. Are we praying in faith and with faith in God and his promises? Matthew 21 and verse 22, Jesus said, and all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. We can pray using God's promises, and the way to strengthen our faith is to study God's word and learn of his love and his promises. We've all seen a number of promises just recently, like in Matthew 21 and verse 22, and in all things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. So we can pray in faith, and if we have difficulty with our faith, we can just study God's word more and learn of his promises. How about this one? Am I lusting after the thing I'm praying for? So maybe this is something that's not God's will. In James chapter 4 and verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Be sure what you are asking for is for the right reasons and according to God's will. Another reason could be, are we holding a grudge or bitterness against someone? In Psalm 66:18, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And in Matthew 6:14, Jesus said, For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. We can search our hearts for this and forgive the person to whom we are bitter. Another thing would be, are you expecting God to be a genie and not doing your part to solve your problems? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, for even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. And in verse 11, for we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Ask yourself if you're doing all you can. God wants us to be actively involved in the solution to our problems, while having faith that he has our back when we've done what we can. We've all heard the story about the guy on the rooftop in the big flood. And he's up on his house and he's praying to God and the waters are rising. And he's out there praying to God, please save me. So pretty soon a rowboat comes along with some guys in it. And they say, hey, jump onto our boat and we'll take you back to safety. He's like, no, God's going to save me. I'm waiting. So a little while longer, something happens. And here comes a big FEMA inflatable with a bunch of guys in it, and they're like, hey, buddy, jump in, and we'll take you to dry land. He's like, no, my Lord's going to save me. Don't worry about it. So off they go, and about an hour later, here comes a helicopter, a Coast Guard helicopter, and it's hovering overhead, and they're letting down a ladder, and they yell at the guy on the loudspeaker, okay, we're going to let down this ladder. You could just grab on, and we'll hoist you up and take you to safety. He's like, no, I'm waiting on my God. My God will save me. So the waters kept rising and rising, and pretty soon he was swept away and he drowned. And when he went to the pearly gates to go to heaven, because he was a believer, he went up to God and he said, God, why didn't you save me? I prayed, and you didn't save me. And God said, well, I sent 3 rescue teams, but you waved them all away. So God's answers don't always look like we may imagine them to be. Is what you're praying for God's will? Jesus showed that he understood this in Matthew 26 and verse 39 when he said, Jesus went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And yet, not as I will, but as you will. And again in Matthew 26 and verse 42, he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. And he was talking about going to the cross. So, you know, he didn't want to go to the cross, but he knew that God, it was God's will. And so he said, even though that's a horrible, horrible, suffering thing, I'm going to do it because that's what my Father wants. So when we say that we want to do God's will, we don't have to go that far. It's not that bad for us. So pray for wisdom and always pray if it be your will. Sometimes God's will is not now, but his own timing. Sometimes what we pray for is not what we need. A number of years ago in my company, we were looking for work. Things were slow, and I need to work for my employees. And so there was a large high-rise project starting up in West Palm Beach, and it was one of the few that was starting at, that was kind of a dry period in construction. And so I went after that job really hard. I turned in a great proposal and put a very low margin on it, and had a lot of meetings with the owners about how to save more money and all like that. And I prayed that I would get that job because it was work for a pretty good amount of people, and we were getting slow and I didn't want to have to lay people off. So I prayed that we would get the job. Well, what happened was at the last minute, another contractor came in with a much lower bid and he got the job. So, you know, I was disappointed and, you know, I just went along, and luckily, we had other work came along, and we survived, and everybody got to not get laid off and got work. And so, you know, God took care of us. But about 8 or 10 years later, I was interviewing superintendents for a large high-rise project, and one of the guys that came in for an interview had been the foreman on that particular job for this other company. And he told me that that was a horrible job. It was very, extremely difficult. The plans were not very good. And so it was very difficult, took way longer than it was supposed to. And that his boss, the other contractor, lost over $1 million on the job. And that was also corroborated by the general contractor that told me the same thing. And it almost bankrupted that company. As a matter of fact, that company did go bankrupt a year or so later. You know, sometimes God's answer is different than what we pray for, and many times better. So that might fall under the category of be careful what you wish for, but thankfully, God knew better and had a better plan. So really, doesn't he always? I think he does. Anyway, sometimes God's answer to prayer is different than what we pray for, and most times better, as in Solomon's prayer in 2 Chronicles, which I think we have studied before, possibly here. Give me, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 10, Solomon prayed, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can rule this great people of yours?" Solomon had been appointed by God as king over the Jewish people. And he was praying for wisdom that he could, wisdom and knowledge that he could do a good job of ruling over them. Well, God said to Solomon, "Because you had this in mind and did not ask for riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you, nor have you even asked for a long life, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may rule over my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you today, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings who were before you has possessed, nor those who will come after you." So that was Solomon got more than he ever asked or dreamed of. And sometimes God's will is a timing issue. A friend of ours who's a missionary told me a true story. As a young man, he went out to Arizona and fell in love with Arizona's beauty and climate and all of that. And he just really loved it. And so when he went back home, he prayed to God. He knew he was going to be a missionary and a pastor, and he prayed to God that God would locate him in Arizona with his mission and his pastor. Well, God called him to other states and other countries, and he spent many years abroad in faraway lands being a missionary. And 30 years later, he was called to come back home, and an investor that he knew had a house that he had bought as an investment that he wanted this missionary to live in. And so he moved into that house, and it was a blessing that he got to move exactly back to the area in Arizona that he wanted to. And some gifts and blessings, he was able to settle down there and has been there for a pretty long time now. So sometimes it's 30 years later when your prayer gets answered. So some of the prayers in the Bible, David prayed many times in the Bible, and you know the story of David. If you know the story of David, you know he did some good things and some very bad things. Yet the Lord recognized his faith and answered his prayers, though not always in the way and time that he desired. In Psalms 4 and 1, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." And in Psalm 18 and verse 1, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song and the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. And David's prayer in Psalm 31, in verse 14, but as for me, I trust in you. O Lord, I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and those who persecute me. Make your face shine on me, your servant, and save me in your loving kindness. And Jesus prayed it throughout the New Testament. And in Luke 6 and verse 12, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And Jesus prayed for believers in John chapter 17 and verse 24 and 26. Father, I desire also whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known you that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and will make it known so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them also. And that's Jesus praying for believers. And then Paul in Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of the inheritance of his inheritance in the saints. So, summing it up, we should pray with thanksgiving for all God has done for us through Christ and the Spirit, as well as to thank him for many answered prayers. We should also pray for others' needs that we are aware of. We should pray for the church, for missionaries, evangelism, and the spread of God's word throughout this world. Spread of God's word throughout the world. We should pray for our leaders and those in authority, and that includes our president, that includes the Congress, the lawmakers, that includes our bosses, anyone who's in authority, and that's commanded by God that we do that. We are told to pray to the Father in Jesus' name through the power of the Holy Spirit. We should pray for our own needs, as in our daily bread. Only you can decide what needs that you can pray for. But we're told to pray for wisdom and to be led away from temptation and to be delivered from evil. We should also pray that we can learn and know Christ better and to do his will. And if you have any fear or doubts, pray for that to be removed and replaced with faith and love. If you have anger or bitterness, pray that God will soften your heart to the causes of that. This may require asking God to help you forgive someone else that you're holding a grudge against or that you're bitter to. If you have sin or guilt from something you did confess and give it to God, then know you are forgiven by God through Jesus Christ. And ask God to help you forget it and live in his will. I find it helps to write down many of the things that I pray for on a regular basis on a list. I call it my prayer list. That doesn't mean I pray the whole list every time or that I don't pray things that are on the list because, you know, we do pray for those things. And every prayer doesn't have to be long or all-encompassing. Even a little prayer of one sentence like, thank you for a beautiful day, like yesterday, or Father, please help me find my keys, are glorifying to God. And most importantly, remember that God loves you and wants you to have life abundantly. And talk to him daily in the way that you feel comfortable. And in closing, remember the last three verses of Romans in chapter 8 and verse 37. And you could turn to Romans chapter 8, 37 if you want. And this is a great verse. So in Romans 8 and verse 37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, as we close our service today, if anyone has not yet believed in Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time to make that decision. We know that we cannot earn or deserve salvation or eternal life, as Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And in Romans 6:22, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And through Christ Jesus our Lord. And lastly, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God has made salvation so simple that all you have to do is close your eyes and tell God, I believe Jesus died for me and trust in him as my Lord and Savior. So Lighthouse Bible Church is a grace ministry and supported by gifts from believers who desire to share God's word with the local area. We don't ask for pledges of money and we don't pass the plate. If God puts it on your heart to help support this ministry, there's a box in the back, or you can simply mail a check or donate online. This is our website. So we're not begging for money. So anyway, the Lord will sustain us as long as he wants us to be here. So let us close in prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us to worship today and study your word. And we ask that you bless us with your loving grace and answer our prayers as we leave today. I pray for everyone here that their prayers will be answered and their needs will be met. And I pray this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all for coming today, and we hope to see you again. There'll be some in the back.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea.